Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The epistle this morning is from 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, we are children of God. And what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for our song. Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our focus today is on this idea that you and I are blessed beyond belief. In all honesty, you and I are truly blessed. See, we hear this word repeated over and over again, and arguably the most famous of anything that Jesus has ever said, especially from his Sermon on the Mount, where we hear him say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, these blessings, these beatitudes remind us that this All Saints Day, that we saints, yes, have truly been blessed beyond all measure. Now, with that being said, I would like to begin by focusing on beyond belief. You know, blessed beyond belief. But I want you to forget for this moment about being blessed. I want you to forget about those in heaven and focus on this phrase: beyond belief. Do you and I sometimes act in a way that puts the message of Jesus Christ beyond belief, harder for people to understand? Now, this past week in confirmation, as we're wrapping up the first table, commandments 1 through 3, we get to this portion about how we use God's name. We're taught to honor him, give him prayer, praise, thanksgiving in his name. to not let his name be used to curse or to slander. See, you and I know that very well. And it's something we've been taught again and again. And this is what we pass on to the next generation, raising up those in the faith, ensuring that they know how to rightly use God's name, bringing him nothing but honor and glory that he is due. But we got to this word, hypocrite. And in good confirmation fashion, one of the kids asked, "What is that?" And after a rather lengthy explanation and a few examples, it started to dawn on these kids. And some of them asked, "So Pastor, you're saying I can't say, oh my gosh, OMG? I said, "Yeah, because the connotation is still there. So you're finding another way to get around God's name, to slander, to use as an all-around catchphrase, but you're still taking his name in vain." What was a fun exercise with these kids had me thinking. Now imagine for a moment an outsider of the Christian faith heard Christians talking like that, where Christians in one moment were saying all these lofty claims about respecting the Lord, honoring his name, then to turn around and hear them say, use his name as a catchphrase, as a curse, to slander. What kind of impression of Christ do you think that outsider was given? Now, maybe you haven't sinned like that, but ask yourself this. Does my conduct ever get in the way of the blessings of the Christian life? Do they ever get in the way of beyond belief for others? Well, let's look at our conduct. Oftentimes we are foul mouthed. We are watching things we should not be watching. There is financial cheating, slandering of others, self-righteousness, and judgmental character. You know, in Matthew 18, Jesus says, "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come." See, yes, there is forgiveness for all these sins. But that's not the point right now. See, the point is that our sins, even our forgiven sins, still have earthly consequences. And sometimes they make it harder for people outside the faith to see the blessings of the Christian life. You can say it's beyond belief for them to comprehend. And there's more. See, each year on All Saints Day, we hear the Beatitudes read. You see, the Beatitudes are beautiful gospel, good news of the blessings that God has given to us. But how so? See, if you're like me, you might hear the Beatitudes as sugar and spice and everything nice, and they're sweet, they're pleasant, but not the gospel that they in fact truly are. To really understand how the Beatitudes are rich gospel, I want you to try for a moment listening to them as law, as a condemnation for the godly lives that you and I do not live. Now let's go through this. Blessed are the meek, but how often do you turn the other cheek? How many times do we refuse to give God our first fruits of our income? Blessed are the peacemakers, but how many times do we fly off the handle and make a problem bigger than it is? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. How many of your daily decisions do you base on what God has revealed to us in Scripture? Are you getting the point? The purpose of God's law is to accuse us because of our sin. As we hear in Galatians and in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. You see, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the very first of the Beatitudes that Jesus says. Now, we may not fit the bill of most of the Beatitudes, but at this moment, I pray you're feeling poor in spirit. You see, there's only one person in himself is in fact accurately described by the Beatitudes. And that's the Son of God. Blessed is Jesus. Listen to the Beatitudes, and I want you to think about Christ. These Beatitudes describe the perfect Son of God, not you and I, not us sinners. Listen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Did you hear it? Jesus is the only one, and himself is all the things that the Beatitudes talk about. Blessed is he. Jesus, as you've heard many times over, has told you, and you have heard, that he has died for your sins on the cross. But there's another reason why he's the Savior. He's the one who rescues us. And we often don't talk about it, but really it is Jesus' act of obedience. I mean, before his crucifixion, during his years on earth, Jesus kept the law of God perfectly. As a baby, as a toddler, as a teen, as a mature man, Jesus did the will of his Father without fail. Whereas you and I, in the press of daily life, often break under pressure and we violate the commandments of our Lord due to our sinful nature. But in reality, Jesus has no sin. Jesus committed no sin. Jesus, the Son of the Most High, blessed is he. And yes, Jesus did endure the punishment, the wrath of God against our sins. See, all those times that you and I have not led this blessed life, all those times when you and I have put the blessings of following Christ beyond belief for others, all those sins, every single one of them, he paid for on the cross. And most importantly, the greatest reach of his suffering on the cross is into your soul and to mine to remove the curse. See, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus, the Son of the Most High, blessed is he. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. What about us? Can we not too be blessed? See, after all those Beatitudes, Jesus turns to us in the text, and he adds here at the end, those last two verses, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, Jesus says that you, me, we will be blessed. But how can this be? Here's a great quote from C.S. Lewis, a And one of the sermon illustrations that they give here, given to us by Concordia, from his book Beyond Personality, where he adds, and this is from Lewis, he says, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I've not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or stop it, but to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own shall become yours. But how in the world can we empty ourselves so completely that Christ will move in, reside in us, and let us partake in his blessedness? I mean, this too is beyond belief. It's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing even to believe. But yet, we should be blessed beyond belief. You know, say for one teaching of the Bible. As we hear in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The blessings of the perfect life of Christ and his forgiveness would be beyond our belief were it not for the working of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's why baptism is so important. The old Adam is drowned, and Christ makes his home in us. As Paul says again in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Or if that doesn't do it, here is what Luther puts in the third explanation of the third article when he says, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. You hear it there, sanctified. To be made holy, to be set apart. The Holy Spirit has brought you into the blessedness of Jesus Christ. And even so, in the same way he calls, he gathers, he enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ and the one true faith. As the Spirit has gathered us in the church, he still calls to those whom we may have offended along the way. And the explanation continues. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. That on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. That's the climax. The day when we will truly be blessed beyond all belief. See, on that day, we will no longer walk by faith, but by sight. We will see our Savior face to face. On that day, we will dwell with God, and he will dwell with us. We will live with him. But we pray that people who've been offended by our conduct will be with us there also. How many people will be in heaven who have never heard the Christian message or refused it at first? Well, it's not 144,000 as some believe. But we hear from Revelation 7, a great multitude that no one could count. With them numbered here and in eternity. Blessed be our Savior, who has blessed us beyond belief. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.